Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. I got to tell you what, I am so thrilled to have Lynn back in the studio with me this week. Although we were sadly disappointed, as you hear when you listen to last week's episode, because she missed out on our guests.
I was in the Las Vegas airport, California Pizza Kitchen, to be exact, after a 3.5 day stint at a trade show.
Yeah.
Where I put 21 miles on my feet and never left the building. Yeah. I was happy to get out of there and ever so sad not to be on the podcast.
Your little text you send me with, wham, 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 I lost $90 in an hour. Come on.
It was less than an hour. It was 20 minutes. I got this. On the slot machines.
The sad part is you didn't get a drink. That's the bad part.
I know.
Part. And it's free alcohol when you're gambling.
I'm so impatient. And I just didn't want to hang around and wait.
I'm sorry.
I didn't do it. Yeah.
Teach you the ins and outs of Vegas.
I know.
Anywho, Lynn, what do we do at this point in the podcast?
We thank our sponsor.
Who is?
Hop City Craft Beer and Wine.
And why are we thanking them today?
Because they are our sponsor and they gave Darren a juicy, according to Darren, Victory Juicy Monkey Hazy Imperial IPA.
I can tell you what.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah.
Victory Brewery. And they're out of Pennsylvania. Juicy Monkey Hazy Imperial. Folks, do not forget this part. Imperial IPA. And Lynn said, what does Imperial mean? And I'm like, that's a higher gravity beer. And this thing is a 9.5%er.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah.
As they like to say,
you need a ride home?
That'll knock your dick in the dirt kind of beer. That's what that is. If you drink
a couple of them. Drop your panties.
And tequila makes your clothes come off. Mm-hmm. But anyway... This, I have to tell you what, when you put your nose on this thing.
Ooh, it does smell lovely.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's just a fresh, it's like you're walking through an orange orchard.
Yeah, that's what I mean, smells like. It's beautiful.
It really does. And it's not hazy. Remember,
no.
This is juicy, even right. though it's, but it does say it's hazy. Mm-hmm. It is, it's what's not opaque. It's translucent.
It's translucent yeah. and it looks like a sunset ish.
Mm-hmm. And it
more
is
golden than orange.
Delish.
Good.
Delish. Thank you, Hop City, for this one. And then I picked up a bottle of wine for us today.
And it is a Syrah mm-hmm. from Washington State, Lenoir. And it is fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, so you don't want to eat anything with this. It's that nice. I know, no pizza, no pasta, no hamburger. That's
just
nice.
Just drink it. Oh, it's got a little crow hanging out and something in there. But yeah, Lenoir. Syrah from Washington State. You can't go wrong with anything from Washington State. That soil is like
it's good
perfect
stuff.
For everything.
And the best part, it has a screw cap. You don't need a corkscrew. We had a problem
like
a couple weeks ago that broke.
Yeah,
we're desperate.
Jimmy rigged that sucker out of there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, oh, thank you, Hop City. You know, the one thing about them, and people are going to hear the podcast now, and I think they're doing it tonight. This is a bummer, as they're wine tasting.
Yes, it's Wednesday nights.
And it's extremely affordable. You get to drink a lot of wine, and I think this week it's all wines from Italy.
Oh,
I know. I was so tempted to cancel the podcast, but we've got a great guest for the show. But anyway, check out their any other locations. There are 5 locations around the Atlanta metro area or Birmingham, Alabama. Go in. 4th of July is coming up, right? And I know you're going to hear this afterwards, but the weekend after 4th of July, you're still probably going to have some type of barbecue or sitting inside out of the
heat,
90 something degree weather.
Yeah.
You need a cold, refreshing beverage to go with that delicious food that you're making. Mm-hmm. And so go by Hop City, pick up some beer, pick up some wine and enjoy.
And they have actually a very extensive refrigerated area. So if you're on your way out for kayaking or a pool party, you can just ride right in there, grab something that's cold, already cold, and keep on moving.
Oh, yeah. All right. Shall we?
I think we shall.
I have a dad joke for us, though.
Okay, good, good.
Ooh, I hope I can land this right. So, you know, I bought a sweater the other day, took it home. It was full of static electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it back to the store.
Mm-hmm.
The clerk gave me a new one, free of charge.
Free of charge. I love it. That's so cute. So cute.
Oh, I missed it. I can't do this.
There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, yeah. Let's get on to our guest, shall we? Mm-hmm. We have Shauna on, and I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name because I will slaughter it, and then she'll be mad at me, and she will report me to the IRS.
Oh, God.
But it starts with a W, and it's like Winkerlinder something. But anyway, Shauna is known as the tax goddess.
That's good enough.
Right?
Who needs a last name?
Right. Shauna the tax goddess. That. There we go. Hey, Shauna, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
Good. How do we say your last name, please?
Oh, if you must, Weckerlin.
Weckerlin.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
But honestly, Shauna the tax goddess, that's the easiest way to find me, and it's what everyone calls me, so.
So if we're going to find you out there on the interwebs, we just, whatever search engine we're using, we're going to be...
Tax goddess it is.
Shauna the tax goddess.
Yep.
And what do you do, Shauna?
Ooh, so I specialize in tax strategy. So you said you were going to let me report you to the IRS. And no. We don't work for the dark side here, honey. We work for the light side. We're on the Jedi's of the good end of this thing. So
That's awesome. And you have something special. I mean, I was looking on your website and you have like some... special certification that's only just a little over 600 people have, and you are actually ranked in the top 1% of all people
in
the country.
Yes.
So what is this certification?
Yeah, so technically I've got a whole mess of certifications. The first one is CPA, which everyone knows, you know, Certified Public Accountant. Mm-hmm. Then I have a master's in taxation. So there's only about 60,000 masters in taxation in the country. Then I've got Certified Tax Coach, CTC, which is where we start to specialize in tax strategy. There's only 607. And then I am a CTS, Certified Tax Strategist, and there's only 15 of us. And they rank us, and all I know is that I'm in the top three because they refuse to tell us who's number one. But I've met the other two, and I've seen their numbers, and I'm pretty sure I know that answer. So...
Ooh,
throwing shade. You know.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we just surpassed. It was actually kind of funny. Literally yesterday, my internal team said, Shauna, did you know that you've saved people more than the annual budget for the country of Monaco? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Wow. It's a pretty rich country.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, we just passed $1.12 billion in savings. And that is the annual budget for the country of Monaco. It's pretty, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. That's amazing.
Wow.
Huh.
In savings. So
in savings,
if
correct,
I want to use you, you can work nationally, right? So
yes, sir.
We're here in Georgia. You can do my taxes for me.
Yep. Georgia, we've got clients in all 50 states, and we work with people that are U.S. They're paying U.S. taxes. So U.S. citizens, green card holders, that kind of thing. So we've got clients that even live in Hungary. We've got China. We've got Britain. All of them are paying U.S. taxes. So we help them with the U.S. tax side of any of their concerns. So
I've heard this rumor in the past.
Okay.
About... taxes, because I would love for you to audit my return.
Because
I trust my CPA. I think my CPA is really good, but it's nice to have a second opinion. But what happens is, what I've heard is, if you have somebody else, or you just, I guess you can refile or something after the fact, like, hey, by the way, realize that maybe I could have gotten a little bit more, you know, shaved off my return, but I heard that'll get you flagged, and you're pretty much going to get audited by the IRS if you do that, or you have a higher chance of getting audited by the IRS if you send in a revised return. Is that true or not?
This is my favorite things about rumors. And I think, honestly, that the marketing team for the IRS has done an amazing job of putting rumors out into the world. Okay. So you are 100% technically correct. Okay. Right. You are allowed to amend a tax return and request a refund up to 3 years historically. So yeah, it's good stuff. Wow. So if we find some deductions in today's conversation that you should have reported, but you didn't know you were allowed to report, you can absolutely go backwards. Now, I want to talk about the audit side of this really quickly. Okay, so before COVID, because we really have a pre-COVID and a post-COVID kind of world.
Yeah, because now all the agents are gun-toting agents out there for the IRS, right?
I'll tell you what. Well, the question is, don't be doing those kinds of things, right? Well, we'll talk about the aggression scale, I'm sure, today. But okay. no gun-toting agents in this neighborhood, hopefully. But yeah, what you're talking about pre-COVID. So if you're a business owner, so an S-corp, a partnership, a C-corp, you know, any kind of business owner, your audit risks just at general, right? Just because you own a business, you were talking about 7%. Okay, so it's pretty low, and that would include if you audited your return, or I'm sorry, amended your return or not, you're still sitting at about that 7% rate. So this is why I call it a rumor. You know, just because you amend a tax return does not mean you're going to get audited. Okay, mm-hmm. Now post-COVID, with one of the tax law changes that happened recently, the IRS obtained an $80 million budget. I'm sorry, $80 billion. Let me say that again, $80 billion budget to increase auditors, right? I'm sure you saw that we're going to hire 87,000 agents, and we're going to upgrade our technology systems and upgrade the phone systems and all these kinds of things. Well, just recently, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they lost a quarter. They lost about $21 billion of that budget.
Well, right? So much for upgrading from Windows 95.
upgrading from dial-up to dial-up.
Oh, yeah. All right, sorry, y'all have to keep your AOL email accounts.
Craziness. And so, you know, on the good side of that, right, and it's good and bad on both ends, because on the good side of that, that means, no, we're not going to have 87,000 agents, and no, they're not going to be able to audit as much as they wanted to. And the IRS did publicly say that unless you are taking home taxable more than $400,000 a year, they just don't have the bandwidth. They just don't have the people to audit you. Okay, so depending on where you are in your income levels, right? If you're less than 400,000, your audit rate has actually dropped significantly because they don't have the manpower. They just don't.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if they stop, I know we were talking about a rumor. I don't mean to cut you off, but they did say that, you know, all these 87,000 agents will be registered to carry a firearm. So maybe they're going to slash that out of there. But you didn't know that, Lynn?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
for crying out loud.
Oh. Well, now they're reduced to cattle prods. Because they really can't afford it.
They can't afford it. I mean, this is the part that bothers me about it, right? Because as I said, you know, I'm a tax Jedi for the light side here, right? I don't work for the man. However, the IRS not having funds to make their telephone system better, their technology better, their response time better. I mean, people are now, what used to be a 2 hour hold on the phone with the IRS is now 8 to 10 hours, and they hang up on you before they pick up.
They do.
So, you know, I can see it good and bad. And I think really this is where business owners, individuals need to be looking at what they're doing from a tax perspective. You know, you certainly don't ever want to put yourself in the path of an audit in the first place, right? You know, do legal things, be above board, cross your T's, dot your I's, because you really don't want to have to deal with the IRS, whether you're right or not. You know, you just don't, what's the point? I don't want to waste time talking to them.
So, right. I completely agree. I mean, this is advice that you're giving, and we are just putting our 2 cents in today. Yeah. We always tell folks, if you have a question, please seek out the expert who handles your taxes for you.
Absolutely.
Based on what you're hearing, but ask the questions. I have to tell you, I mean, I just finished the other day, a little light reading. Remember when they made all those tax ramic changes just 2 years ago? Yeah. It was like 1,700 and something pages.
Like every other week, I think. Yeah, they had
I just
something
finished it.
You did not.
Yeah,
did you
I
really
did.
Read that? You did.
I
not.
Did. I found it. I downloaded it on Audible.
Are you? Come on.
I was about to say, like, come on. That's all I have to say.
I volunteered actually to be the narrator for it.
Oh, jeez. No.
So, no, I'm kidding.
I hope you're getting paid by the word.
That would be good money.
Yeah, I know. That would be good money.
But, you know, seek out advice. And if you have to double check, check with the legal side of things. That's all Absolutely. We're saying today. That's what my attorney told me to say before we started this okay. episode. So we're
very good.
Good.
Very good.
You know, there's one of the things that I think people miss. Like, you're talking about all those changes that happened 2 years ago. The IRS publishes changes, just the IRS, let alone the state and the cities and all the localities, right? The IRS alone publishes changes 3 times a day.
Oh my gosh, how do you keep up with it?
It's like a weather report.
It's a weather report. It's actually totally a weather report. Are they happy? Are they upset? What are we doing?
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to one of your first comments, right? Is there's a significant difference between your tax preparer, whose job it is to take the information you have, make sure you're not going to jail, prepare the forms and ship it off, mm-hmm. okay, to a tax strategist who my entire job all day, that's what I do. I read the 3 updates every single day. What does that do? What does it mean? How does it implicate? What changes do I need to tell our clients? You know, that's really the difference between a strategist and a general tax preparer, CPA. Our job is to know these changes and to know these specialized rules. Whereas a standard CPA tax preparer, their job is to file your return, right? It's two very distinct positions within a financial team.
You know, here's... That's really amazing. I love that. I love that. And I think I'm going to be, Sean is going to be on speed dial for me from now on in the future.
Happy to be.
Just saying. Just you tell me the little gifts you like. I'll send them for every freaking holiday there is. That's all I'm saying. Arbor Day's coming up. I'm going to send you some seeds so you can plant a tree, but we'll go from there.
I love it.
But I have, this is one of the things that always gets me. When you read your tax return and you are filing and you sign it to file it,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
it comes back. Even though you pay this person who you pay a CPA,
yep. right,
who is, as it's always been explained to me, just passing the CPA exam is harder than passing the bar exam.
Right. That's what yes. I've heard.
Is that yeah. true?
That is true.
Okay.
That is true.
So
yeah.
that rumor is... Not a rumor.
Verified.
That's verified. But then you go through it all and it says, but at the end, your CPA is not held accountable for
I know.
Your return.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. It's like, wait a second, I'm paying you to make sure all this is right. Yeah. And if I get audited kind of. And I have to write a check
right.
for more yeah. and I'm getting fined and then they decide to go back over time and let's, okay, guess what? We're going to go back. We found this 1 year and now we're going to go back 3 years. They can go back, what is it, 7 years total?
So it depends on what they find, right?
Right?
Normally what they'll do, it's a 3 year window and they'll pick the year in the middle because that way if they find something, they can open up the year on either side, okay? But if they find that you've underreported your income by 25%, or you've over-reported your expenses by 25%, you're now in the category of fraud. They can open up every tax return you've ever filed ever for life.
Oh, I thought it was 7 years, but it's ever. Wow.
Ever.
And then comes the lien on your house.
Oh yeah. Well, they're getting really, really, really strict about that. You know, come about 4 or 5 years ago, if you owed the government $50,000 or less, right? Because sometimes, you know, you have a big transaction, you sell something, you know, you pay tax, right?
You should.
And you should. Well, yeah, not if you have a strategist, totally different matter. But, you know, so let's say you owe them $50,000. Previous to about 4 or 5 years ago, the IRS would send you letters and you'd come up with a payment plan and, you know, you'd settle it and it would be fine. About 4 or 5 years ago, they changed that. And at this point, if you owe them more than $50,000, they will automatically put a lien on any property, cars, homes, bank accounts, anything they've got, they'll automatically place one. And I'm sure you heard this, they're now going after people's passports. They're removing driver's licenses and passports if you don't have your taxes paid. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're getting really, really strict on the enforcement side from that standpoint, if you owe them money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna give them a little grace here. We're going to give the IRS some grace because there are people who take advantage of it. They really do habitually take advantage of it. And so because the IRS really has not had, I mean, they went through a drastic cutback in employees years ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I believe it was. And they couldn't get people. And they always, the joke was, hey, you know what? If you were in the bottom 25% of your class, you're going to, in accounting,
for the IRS.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Shauna right. knows the joke,
right?
Oh, I know.
I may have said it wrong, but that was
well. In COVID, that was a lot of that was COVID. Was they had this whirlwind of events where they lost funding, mm-hmm. they had to get rid of people, and they had a bunch of older individuals who were close enough to retirement that they were just done. And that's where this, you know, this 87,000 agents that they were trying to rehire, 50,000 of the 87 were just replacing people they lost. Yeah.
And
so,
in all fairness, those agents, those individuals working at the IRS have to deal with a lot of bullshit every day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, I've got to, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, come on, seriously, you're trying to write that off. No.
They've heard every line of bullshit
I know.
That everybody's ever made up to get out of taxes. Yeah. Yeah. I tried to write off the cat a couple of years ago. We realized we couldn't do it. I didn't have a social security number for the cat.
What? Really?
Marketing.
Did you really?
We should talk about it for marketing.
I know. It is
her,
right.
And that's
I know.
Why she's saying it, because her cat, actually, Lynn's company is Orange Cat.
Content marketing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello.
And... Mm-hmm. The image that she puts out there sometimes in some of her social media is her orange cat.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, and to me, this comes to the aggression scale side, right? I mentioned we should talk about the aggression scale.
Do I need my lawyer here?
I feel like I need a bulletproof vest right now.
it depends on where you are on the aggression scale. So you have 0 to 10. Okay. 0 meaning the IRS will never call you, never, ever, except for a random audit, because that's 7%. It can happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. 10 means we're all going to jail. Okay. And really, you know, as a tax strategist, I sit at an 8. Okay. So 10 is we're going to jail. 9 is we're doing Al Capone stuff. Okay. We're doing stuff we shouldn't be doing and hoping we're not going to get caught. Because of course he famously got caught for not filing his taxes.
That's
right.
He's famous for that.
Yeah.
That's what Elliot Ness got him for.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Couldn't get him on anything else. They got him on tax evasion. Right. So an 8 is you're crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, right? You're doing everything legally, but you're okay with the IRS calling you to ask questions. And a 7 is I'm doing everything legally, everything above board, but I really don't want to talk to the IRS. So when you talk about writing off your cat, and I know earlier we were kind of joking about writing off the dog.
Okay? Right. Yeah.
If you can prove, and this is really where the court cases come in, right? If you can prove that the cat gained you more business, then you can write off the cat. You have to be able to prove that you made income.
Hell yes, she can.
I am refiling my taxes.
Talk to Shauna. Have her do an amendment for you.
And the cat's got a vet bill too. I mean, come on.
Now, in Lynn's defense, can she write off the vet bill and everything else?
The vet, the training, the food, the grooming, the collar, the you name it.
What about her husband? Just for being the man he is, can she write him off
We can do that too. This is so. Listen, when we start to talk about hiring family, right? Husbands, children is one of the most popular ones.
Right.
Now, you know, generally you can, there's really two court cases if we're talking about kids, and I suppose husbands would fall into this as well, but there's really two court cases.
Her husband is a child. She always says that he's a man child.
He's 12 year old.
He's a pickle stealer too, by the way.
6'3", 12 year old. Yes.
Yeah. I love it. Well, listen, so, you know, two versions of the court case here, right? One of them is the kid is at least 7 years old. Okay. So your husband would qualify. He's at least 7. and they're doing some sort of job for the business. So emptying the trash, repairing the cabinet that fell over, setting up the microphone, you know, whatever it is, right? They're doing some sort of a job for the business.
What about just making her laugh?
Yeah.
Happy on
or just listening
basis.
To me, bitch. You
know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that really quickly. Okay. So I mean, if you
she has a little bit of tinnitus going on in her, you know, wrist and forearm, and every evening he massages it.
Yeah, that's true.
That right off.
Mm-hmm. And I was about to go down the path of medical. Okay. So let me come at it this way. It's still a business expense if you have a medical expense reimbursement plan through your company. Okay.
Does that include an HSA?
An HSA is a different kind of plan.
Okay.
So you'd have an HSA, you'd have a medical expense reimbursement program. HSAs, you know, right now, I think the maximum that you can contribute to an HSA is a little around $7,300, okay? With a medical expense reimbursement program, the maximum dollar amount is unlimited, and it's a business expense.
Interesting.
Okay? Right. So where we see things like this happen, and you know, I'm trying to think creatively, and I think, you know, going back, that's the difference here between a CPA and a strategist, right? Our job is to think outside the box, but meet the rules, right? So if I'm trying to think creatively here, the husband being a massage or being the person you talk to, you know, at the end of a rough day, if you had a note from your doctor that your husband was medically necessary for you to be able to do your job, you might be able to get that to qualify under a medical expense.
He feeds you libations at the end of every stressful day.
My husband's medically necessary.
You know?
How does your husband qualify as medically necessary? Can I write my girlfriend off for that too?
Can we do the girlfriend? The easier way to do it, guys, really honestly, right? The easier way to do it is to give some sort of a traditional type job to the spouse, to the children, right? So do the marketing, do the bookkeeping, clean, right? Be the cleaning crew, do the paperwork filing or shredding, you know, this kind of thing. But as long as there are really three words in the IRS language that have to be followed for something to be a deduction through the business. So it's got to be ordinary, it's got to be necessary, and it's got to be reasonable. Okay. So the husband and the medical write-off, if that's why I'm saying if the doctor is willing to sign off on that, now it becomes ordinary and necessary, because if you have tinnitus, you can't do your job if you can't perform, right? Like this is ordinary and necessary. Reasonable would go to speak about, well, are you paying him $10,000 a year or are you paying him $150,000 a year?
That's right? A difference. Sure.
That's a difference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the places where we see people get into trouble with this is, you know, they're paying a 7-year-old, a child, $300,000 a year to shred paperwork.
Ooh,
right?
I want that job.
That's high end. Yeah. That's like high. Enron children.
Exactly. That's where you run into problems with this stuff. But you look at the other end, and I believe, but I'm going to ask, can I be a little risque here?
Sure.
A little bit. Okay. Yeah. There's a very, very famous court case. And this is really where a lot of this, is it deductible, is it not, came from. There was a professional dancer. And do you know what I mean by professional dancer?
Yes. We have him here. Yep.
We have him here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a professional dancer and she got some of her upper chest area enhanced. Okay.
Are we talking about Stormy Daniels by chance? No.
Good question. So she got the upper area enhanced and she took it as a business deduction, right? Off of her taxes.
That's legit. Okay?
That's legit. And the IRS said, no, it's not. Okay. And so they actually went to the first court case she lost. They went to the Court of Appeals and the appeal judge turned to the IRS and said, well, let me get this straight. Did you or did you not collect more tax revenue because she made more money because of these enhancements?
Right.
And the IRS said, yeah, we did. And the appeals judge said, well, if you made more money, what are you complaining about? Deduction approved.
There you go.
Microphone drop.
Could you imagine the court case before, after?
But they have big X's across the parts you're not supposed to see.
Yeah. And there you go.
That's called pasties.
Yeah.
No
pasties.
Yeah.
So it really does come down to, and that's why I always kind of promote those three words, reasonable, ordinary, and necessary, right? Because for her, for what she did, was it reasonable, ordinary, and necessary for her to make more money? Absolutely. And she did, and she could prove it. So, you know, earlier where we were talking about the cat, right? And I said, well, you have to be able to prove that you made money from this thing. If you can prove it, you can write it off.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's your ROI on
the cat. Yeah.
I want to know, when you said medical reimbursement.
Yeah.
As an LLC, you know, a small business owner, whatever, mm-hmm. How do we put that in a category by itself? And what is we don't want a red flag, you know, we don't want to have a red flag, but what is reasonable, ordinary, and necessary as medical reimbursements? And how do you, is that a category itself? Do you set up a certain type of, you know, a different bank
special
account
type
for
of
that? How do you do
it's
that?
A special type of program. Absolutely. So medical expense reimbursement programs, and you can tell just by the name, the P at the end is a program or plan. There are specialty organizations that set these up for you, and they are approved by the IRS. Okay. And depending on, you know, if it's just you in the business, or if you've hired the spouse in the business, or if you've hired the kids, or if you have other employees, you know, this kind of thing, the program works a little differently depending on the circumstances. Okay. But the big overarching picture is that any business, sole proprietorship, all the way up to, you mentioned Enron, right? Pfizer, like these huge companies,
right?
They're allowed to set up this medical expense reimbursement program. And what it says is, we will allow, as a company, you're saying, we will allow any of our employees to be reimbursed from company funds for XYZ medical expenses. Okay. Now, there is an approved list and there's a disallowed list. So for example, what am I thinking? The facial, my goodness, I'm so sorry. My brain just died.
Eyelash weave.
You can't get an eyelash. Thank you. Right. If it's meant cosmetic, that's right. What I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If it's cosmetic surgery, it's not going to work. No. Okay.
But what about contraception or preventative? Yeah. Contraception.
Oh, great
or
question.
Fertility like treatments.
Fertility treatments, condoms.
Yeah. Adoption. Yeah.
Birth control. What about that?
So the good bit about this is a federal level thing. Not a state level thing. Okay. So depending, as long as it's approved at the federal level, you're good. Now you get marijuana on the other side of that, right? Which is not.
Be able to write that shit off every day. What are you talking about? Marijuana, mushrooms. I had to go on ayahuasca therapy treatment for the weekend,
you know,
to decompress. Right?
That explains everything. Yeah. Explains literally everything.
So yes,
yeah, so like I'm out in Arizona. We have that happen on every street corner every day. What are you talking about?
And so really it's a federal level deduction, right? So it's not really going to specifically matter which state you're in, because of course some states allow it, some states don't, you know, this kind of thing. It's a federal level deduction.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And
I'm good with
we
that.
Could set this plan, or you can set this plan or program up for your employees.
Right.
Even if you're a sole proprietor, you can still do it.
Correct? Well, yeah. So if you are the only employee, right, as a sole proprietor, you are the only employee, I would recommend to get the best benefits that you have your spouse become the employee, and your spouse is the one that signs up for the program and covers all the medical expenses.
Oh. Okay. That's how you do it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
This is how we do it, baby.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, because if you do it for yourself, you can do it, but the deduction isn't as good.
Okay.
So this is really where, you know, as I said, those three times a day updates, right? This is really where you could go look at, you know, we get this all the time. I saw this thing on TikTok. Is this how it works? Well, you know, they told you about 5% of what you have to do and the steps and exactly how to do it to make sure it works.
TikTok. So. Really? On TikTok.
Hey, that topic I have a question about.
Yeah.
I found out about it on TikTok this morning.
All right.
So that's what it is.
It's crazy. It's so not right, but it's right.
I think what John is saying is it's better to have a companion do it for you than for you to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll feel much better.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Lynn has,
I have no idea what you're talking about. I do. Kind of.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, so as we now I have a question we brought up just before this, and people are like, holy shit, this is a lot of information coming at us at one time, and it's great stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here's the good thing about a podcast. You could go back and listen to it again and again and again.
And,
again.
And you could bookmark it.
And you could slow it down or speed it up. Mm-hmm. But I brought up HSA.
Yes.
Health savings account. And rumor or truth, an HSA, a health savings account, is a great way to, if you can contribute to that every year, and when you hit a certain age, that becomes tax-free money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Could you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely.
Because this is a hell of a really good way.
It is.
You get to deduct it from your income.
Yep.
Annual income each year up to, what'd you say, $7,500?
About $7,350, somewhere in that range.
$7,350, yeah. But $7,000 less that you have to pay on taxes. And then when you hit 65?
Yep, whatever the retirement age is at that time.
Whatever retirement age is at that time, okay. And then you can do whatever the hell you want with it. Or do you have to roll it into something else? Or can you just cash that shit out and take it for cash?
It is yours. It is 100% yours.
Money's just raining down tax-free at that point.
Money's raining.
Explain this, though, so everybody understands the benefit of this, because this is huge.
Absolutely. Well, and this is the perfect combination to the medical expense reimbursement program. Okay. Because the way that the HSA was originally formed, right, was it was supposed to be a savings account if there's a health problem, right? If you need to pay a bill, and that way you have a chunk of money to be able to pay a bill. And it only applies for high deductible plan participants. Okay. So you definitely have to look at those limits to see if you even qualify to do an HSA. But for a lot of people, you know, they're younger, they're 20, they're 25, they're 30, they're just starting. They don't have any medical issues yet. Right. They're young and healthy. Right. There's no problems. And so you hit the nail on the head. You're allowed to put away the maximum amount. Now, the $7,350 is for a married couple. Individually, it's about $3,500, $3,600, somewhere in there. And you can put the money away, and the money sits in that account until either you use it or you get to retirement age and you can pull it out, air quotes, for retirement. Right. Tax free. Now, what we recommend to people, because we see this all the time, people have set up the HSA, they're funding the HSA, but they're spending the HSA. The point is not, don't do that, right? Set up a medical expense reimbursement program along with the HSA so that you're spending the money out of your business, right? You're getting a deduction from your business for the medical expense reimbursement program side, and you're building up, it's effectively an extra retirement account on the HSA side.
Gotcha.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so good.
I know. It's fabulous.
So good. And people are like,
and I have to say, if the retirement age moves one more time, I'm going to be running around like a crazy person screaming my head off. That's all I have to say. Because
retirement age now?
65.
And?
Yeah. If they move that needle one more time, I'm going to lose my, ever loving brain.
Oh, well, it was 59 and a half. And then I think it was 60 and a half. And then it was 62 and a half.
Yeah.
And now it's 65. I mean, basically they're arguing that people are living longer and longer and longer. But side note, I mean, Social Security is broke.
Exactly. So, exactly. I'll be like those French people protesting on the streets because Macron raise the retirement age to what, 65 from 63 or something? They were going bananas out there.
Yeah.
And then, so a quick aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the quick aside?
And Shauna, as the tax goddess, probably should be able to answer this. What's the whole thing? Like when you hit 50, AARP starts.
Oh my God. Don't insult me.
Is it good or bad to have a subscription AARP? I want to know.
I think it's fabulous. Listen, I'll take any discount you want to give me. Why would I not? Right? I don't have a problem with saying I'm old and I need free movie tickets or cheap movie tickets. Like, whatever. I don't care. I think it's great.
I mean,
but it makes me feel like I should be retired And it irritates me.
Oh, no. No. Well, I mean, honestly, let's back up. But I think most of the people we're talking about here today are the self-employed, right? They have a business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're whatever that business is, right? Self-employed people, we have a drive. It doesn't matter. There is no such thing as retiring. I mean, I've met people, the self-employed people, that, yeah, they retired at 50 and then they started working at 52 because they were bored. And then they retired at 60 and they retired, you know, went back to work, created a new business at 61 because they were bored. Entrepreneurs do not do well sitting around. We just don't. Right.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, who cares if people call you old? Yeah, I'm old. I survived and I'm getting discounts. You're not. So whatever.
So it's good.
That's
okay. I mean, I'm over it.
I just got it again. It was like, do you want a 5-year membership for like dirt cheap?
And you signed up?
Yes.
I didn't, but I probably should. But now that I know, I need to look into it more.
I'd get it. I'd get it if I could get a discount on my cell phone.
You can get a discount probably on.
Oh, there's discounts on my.
What are you talking about?
Like,
T-Mobile has one right now.
It has to be Verizon. That's the only thing that works at my house.
I know.
Literally,
T-Mobile has the magenta plan, and it's like $25 a month.
Is that like my hair has to be magenta too?
No, you only have to be 55. I just got it.
Congratulations.
$25.
I'm only 2 years older than you.
So really quick, because I have a question about dogs in just a second, but I have to tell you, I just opened up another beer.
You were skeptical about that beer.
Because what is it?
You wrinkled your nose when you pulled that out.
Because it's a what?
A sour. And it's a sour monkey.
What is Craig's mission in life?
He's going to convert you to enjoy sours.
This thing is a sour tripel.
Okay.
By Victory. It's called Sour Monkey, and it is a goofy looking thing.
Yeah, it is.
On the front.
The graphics always crack me
up.
But
I got to tell you.
Every time you pull a sour out of the mix, you wrinkle your nose, and it's like, oh my God, that's really good.
Hold on. I opened this up, I poured it, and then I looked at it. I'm like, this thing, it says, tastefully tart, mystical flavors. Fruity notes from imported Belgian yeast, hence the reason I have to call him Sir Craig now.
Yeah, right, because he is a sir.
Right. Swirl through the processing, precise souring. It says, pucker up for a bit of citrus-laden tang, ending with a delectable experience. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 100%. Here's a note to self.
Note to self.
This is 9.5%.
Another one.
Another one.
Okay.
He just nailed me with like these high gravity beers today.
Hey, if you need anything from Darren, you've got like a 30-minute window because he's feeling really good.
It's Uber time.
Uber time.
So thank you for pausing with us, Shauna. Thank you, Hop City, once again. But we were talking right before the show about Lynn's dog. And you were very specific about her dog, because you said you have German Shepherds. They're a tax write-off.
Absolutely.
Do explain.
Yes. This is everybody's favorite deduction. Besides paying kids, this is like definitely a high priority number two.
You know,
here.
Cats are out there right now going, F you.
middle claw up in the air.
Like your husband used to do.
Middle knuckle.
But tell us about dogs and why is it so specific what you were talking about?
Absolutely. So specificity in anything in the tax code always comes from court cases. Okay. So effectively, if you want to write off your dog, there are three qualifications that you must meet in order to write off your dog. And I'm talking about it as a business deduction, not medical dogs, right? Because of course there's, you know, cancer sniffing dogs and glucose dogs and medical dogs as a whole separate
thing.
What
about ball sniffing dogs? Can they be a write off?
I get that note from your doctor.
Giblet sniffing dogs.
As long as I get a note from the doctor, I'm good.
Whose balls? Another dog?
Anybody's. I don't care. I could just write off every person's dog that comes up and sniffs me in the crotch.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, can I just get a straight just a straight line $50 deduction every time a dog
sniffs me in the
crotch?
We have a whole episode on that.
Hold on. Sorry.
Okay,
Shauna,
so back to the dog.
God. All good. Clearly very important.
So talking about taxes is cannot be boring, right?
This is actually kind of fun.
Yes. I'm so glad. That actually makes my heart sing, because when I tell people, oh yeah, I'm a CPA, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't understand. Like, I love what I do. I love what I do, right? Because we get to help people with things that nobody else tells them. Like, this is the stuff that people are like, really, really? Like, my dog? Yes, your dog, right? As long as you meet the qualifications. So there's three qualifications, okay? So the first one is, at the dog's shoulder, it must be taller than the height of your knee.
Okay? Check.
Check, okay. The second one is, the dog needs to have training. Now, that's a very broad term, and the IRS left it kind of broad. Training could mean, of course, Schutzhund or whatever, but sit, stay, come is training. Okay. And so that qualifies. So
check.
Check. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And the third one is, the dog has to be used for some sort of business purpose. Now, just like your cat, right? You had the marketing, you know, the image of the marketing. Okay. For many people, they may have vendors come to their home, partners come to their home, employees come to their home. Okay. If the dog is in your home, or if you bring the dog with you to business meetings, okay, that dog is now a security, right? Because if somebody were to enter your home, does the dog bark?
Oh, especially at the UPS man.
And there
any
you go.
Freaking squirrel that lives in the back. That dog is absolutely point for everything.
Yes.
Love it though. So that is security, right? So she's now meeting the third qualification, the business use, right? She's protecting the business. She's protecting you, the business, the owner. Okay. So the only other question, so it sounds like she needs all three qualifications, which means that you get all the food, all the grooming, all the nail trims, all the vet shots, all the everything, right? Absolutely everything food? Related to that dog.
Food. God, food is so expensive.
Everything.
Hip dysplasia treatment, cold laser therapy.
Oh.
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. Right. So, and that one is security. Now, there are, because some people have, for example, there are certain breeds that are allowed, even though they're not necessarily tall. So, for example, pit bulls, right? Sometimes they're very short and stocky, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But they're below the knee. They still qualify as a security dog.
Oh, hell so, yeah. She's part pit bull, part boxer, part Boston Terrier, but a boom bomb.
Done. Okay. Absolutely. So, Sophie. Yeah,
triple
for a lot
deduction.
Of people, right. And I've got four dogs,
whoa.
All of whom meet the qualifications. Right. Okay. So I understand what you mean about the dog, the food bill.
Yeah. Right? Jeez.
So, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good interesting. Stuff. I have to go back really and look good. At how I filed. I had no idea. That
that's
I could
a
do that.
A lot of deductions.
That is between the cat and the dog. We've been trying to figure this out for like ever.
And in all fairness, I mean, 1,700 pages of a tax guide.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what CPA. That's why you have to be a tax strategist.
Right.
Because
Exactly.
Your tax, even your CPA can't keep up with that.
No.
That's a shit
ton
of
reading.
I mean, could you imagine them sitting on April 15th going, oh, here, let me take 5 hours out and read this section of the tax code.
Five hours?
Try to like 55 hours. Yeah.
Very true.
I mean, to be fair, I am a good, upstanding U.S. citizen. My husband served in the military. We pay our taxes. We're, you know, we try to do the right thing. But man, every once in a while, cut me some slack, man.
Well, and I think this, for me, listen, I am also U.S. citizen, totally upstanding. I would never, ever, ever cheat on my taxes, ever. But I'm also not going to pay a penny more than I'm legally required to do.
Right.
So if the law is out there, why would I not use it to my advantage?
Right.
That's,
right.
You know, and so many people, again, they take their information. We need to talk about timeline here because, you know, when we talk tax strategies, I mean, here we are, we're kind of, you know, in the middle of the year, right? We have plenty of time to change the way that we're reporting our information to properly take advantage of these tax strategies, right? But if you call me on April 14th about last year, right? The year is over. Well, the year's over. I don't know what you want me to do, right? The year is over. If you don't implement strategies during the year, right? And you have to have them done by December 31st, whatever you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not done, year's over.
Done.
Yeah.
You're done. you're done. And maybe you find some stuff like your dog, like the cat, that you could go back, you could amend. Is it worthwhile, right? You're going to have to pay the CPA to change the return, to amend the return. How much in savings are you really going to get? Exactly. You know, maybe it's worthwhile, maybe it's not. But with a lot of these strategies, I mean, at the moment, we're talking about some really low hanging fruit. Right? Is it, you know, the kids, the dogs, using your home as the master's exemption, the Augusta rule, these kinds of things. These are all very low hanging fruit. They're easy to find, easy to implement. When you start talking about some of the more complex strategies, it's not something you can do in a day. These are 2 to 3 months. You got to set them up in advance. So.
Okay.
I have, so we're going to.
Darren's frantically taking notes on a literal paper towel right now.
Which Lynn usually uses to sop up her red wine. When she's pouring red wine. My next question, but I've got this. So went over to Lynn's for dinner a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
We talked about business.
Love it.
While we were there.
Yeah.
Can she write off the meal?
And more than that. Yes, sir.
And more than that?
Oh, and more than that. All right. So let me ask you some questions. It's funny because here I am thinking, oh, he's already hit on the master's exemption. I love it. Okay. So definitely the meal.
Master's
right?
Exemption. I'm a master is what she's saying.
Okay.
You master. Could exempt me.
Big man.
Big man. So let me ask some questions here. We'll see what we can work out.
Okay. But I don't know. But anyway, so.
So the meal for sure. Okay. Now alcohol is not deductible. And I'm so sorry to say
Yeah, but
that.
I'm Irish. That should be included.
Get your doctor to write you a note and then we can talk. Do you want a story about that actually?
Sure.
Years ago, I have been a CPA. I've been a CPA for 19 years and I've been doing taxes for 24 for a long time. Okay. And so I've lived through 24 tax seasons. All right. And one year I went to my doctor, my chiropractor, and we were just kind of joking around. And he said, well, what is it that, you know, I need you to relax. You're so stressed out, right? I need you to relax. What relaxes you? And I jokingly said, well, champagne does a good job. He literally wrote me a prescription for champagne on his doctor's notepad. Ever since that day, my champagne is now a medical deduction. Because he put it on his notepad.
What's your doctor's name and when can I set an appointment?
Wait, we know a guy.
Right. That's awesome.
It has to be, yeah. So the doctor, if you can get the doctor's note, I'm sorry to go back to medical, but if you can get the doctor's note, that's key. But let's stick on this meal thing here, okay? So meal, absolutely, because you two are, you know, you're clearly business partners. You work together, you're brainstorming, you're coming up with ideas, right? You're making the podcast great, you know, all of these things, right? You're clearly talking about business at dinner. Business meals, yes, you can deduct them. Some business meals are 50%. Some business meals are 100% as far as the actual deduction. So make sure that you're tracking what type of meal it is. So is it with a prospect, for example? Is it with a vendor? Is it with your business partner? You know, all of these different meals. So for example, meals with a prospect are 100% deductible. But business meals, like office meetings with other employees, directors, shareholders, are only 50%. You still get some, but not all of it.
Now, I have a question about that. I, as I understand it, rumor has it. I'm going to use this phrase a lot today.
Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Adele.
Is that you can only, when you take that deduction, that it's for the only the people that you are entertaining, for lack of a better phrase, but you can't deduct your own meal. Is that true? Like if Lynn and I, you know, I'm trying to prospect with Lynn and we go over, we have lunch.
And you took me to Chick-fil-A. It was a whole $10.
Sure.
My meal was a whole $10.
Nothing but the best for you, darling. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, you got the shake. So
now it's 12
and then you ordered a bag of Chick-fil-A ice because it's so special.
Oh, it is. It's crunchy, chewy.
But I heard that you could only deduct the person's meal that you're with and you can't deduct your own meal. Is that true or false?
This, That's false. I think what they were trying to describe is the 50% rule.
Okay.
So let's back up. If your meal is 10 and the other meal is 20, the total is 30, right? So 50% of 30 is 15. It's okay. Not the 20 for the other person.
You got that?
Does that make sense?
Lynn? All right. So all those meals when I was...
For me, that's high math.
When I was dating Linda and, you know... I was writing those off as business expenses.
No, you weren't.
When I was wooing her. And then when I finally landed, when she said, heck yeah, I'm going to
hang out with
your gal.
You. Yeah.
Then it went down to 50%.
So, down to 50%. That's it. Now,
honey, I love you, but I might have to
stop.
We may have to
stop. Stop taking her
out.
You're
digging a hole.
Yeah.
Digging a hole.
We're going to have to rephrase our relationship so I can get 100% deduction from the IRS.
Now, I want to give you something that is much more sexy than writing off the meal. Okay. And that's the master's exemption. Okay. Now, sometimes it's called master's exemption and sometimes it's called the Augusta rule. Okay. And as you can tell by both of those names, right.
That's what golf happens, that we're talking about.
That's golf we're talking about. Okay. So Augusta, Georgia is where they hold the Masters golf tournament. And one thing I love about being a U.S. citizen is that when the government writes a rule for themselves, that same rule applies to us. Okay. So you had a bunch of senators, congresspeople, big politicians that own homes in that area.
Yep.
And they wrote a rule that said, if I rent out my home for 14 days or less a year, however much rental income I make on that rental is 100% non-taxable.
14 days or less.
14 days or less. And so the question becomes, you know, for many people, they say, well, I mean, that's great, but I don't live in Augusta. I don't want to rent out my home to strangers. You know, there's lots of reasons not to rent out your home. However, if you have a business, right, you mentioned an LLC, if you have an S Corp, if you have a partnership, your business can rent your home from you to hold business events. So when Lynn invited you to dinner to her home and you were, if Lynn owns the home, okay, like a mortgage is okay, but do you own or do you rent?
We own.
We own. Perfect. Okay. So Lynn's business could actually rent the home from Lynn, pay Lynn a rental fee to use the space, and then invite you over.
How many days in a row does Darren have to come over for me to...
Under 14 days or less.
14 days or less a year.
Oh, we're going to have dinner parties.
So at least once a month, and then maybe twice in November and twice in December.
Back and forth, we could do 28 days a year.
Oh, yeah.
14, you could do 14, 14, I can do 14.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So do not go over 14, because if you go over 14, all of it becomes taxable. So be very cautious about 14. Yeah. So what most people will do is they'll do, you know, their 12 monthly, you know, staff meetings or whatever, right? They'll do one, like some sort of holiday party, and then they'll do their birthday party.
This is some crazy ass shit we're learning today.
No, but this is making so much sense based on like past career, you know, like, you know, past employers. Like, why are we doing this at their house? Are you kidding me?
Because they...
Because
they have somebody who knows their shiznit.
Now, my favorite part about this, okay, because the other side of this, well, 14 days, that's great. Shauna, what? So like $100 per event, $1,000 per event. The smallest rate I've ever seen was $500 per event. The largest rate I've ever seen was $17,800 per event. Okay. So if you had 17,800, now that was Manhattan. Okay. But that was 249,000
square foot studio apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a bunk bed. On you, you know.
Yeah.
But that was $249,000 a year. That was 100% tax-free for that business owner.
Do you know what kind of steak and lobster we could have?
You better start ordering.
I know. I better like start planning right now. Yeah.
That shit is coming direct from Maine.
This is
a two part. We're going to kind of transition into the other thing because there's, as you said, it has to be ordinary, reasonable, and necessary.
Yes. Yes.
So you can't have these massive write offs, even though I drink a lot.
Well, if you're only making like $10,000 a year on your LLC, you cannot write off $17,000 per event. Yeah,
I'll give you a list. Next time we have a business meeting at your house, I will tell you what I require.
Okay.
Necessary.
Yes. All right.
Green M&Ms.
Yeah.
There you go.
Green M&Ms.
But no, I mean, it has to be reasonable. And I'm sure this is where people, this is one thing that people don't really grasp. Like work a home office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So a home office is, everybody says, well, I get to write off a home office. But yeah, if you work at home, you take the square footage of your home and you and then you take the square footage of the area that you work in, divide that, and whatever percentage of that you get to take that as a tax deduction, including internet.
Yep.
Utilities. All utilities.
Yeah.
And then, but I had my accountant said, oh yeah, you could do it that way, or you could take a straight line deduction.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Either way.
I want to know what the hell a straight line deduction means.
You got it. So let's dispel a couple of myths here and let's give some more information. So the other CPA was correct. There are two different ways to write off a home office. Okay. The first one, the straight line deduction, is the easiest method, but it often produces the worst results. Okay.
Like a lazy accountant.
It's a lazy accountant.
He's
right?
A mother effer. That's what it is.
Well, I think about this,
accountant. Don't get me wrong. I'm just teasing.
Accountants are good. We need them. We need them in our lives. Okay. Some of them just don't know. They don't know any better. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, because they got 1,700 pages of shit to read every 3 days or three times a day. Stuff is getting updated.
Exactly. So the straight line deduction, basically what it says is however many square feet your home office is. So let's just say it's 100 square feet. You get a $5 per square foot deduction. Okay. And the way that I look at this thing is anytime the IRS gives you something and says, this is the air quotes easy way to do this, you can bet your bottom dollar that you are not getting the best benefit. Right?
Thank you for letting me know. Yeah. Because I went with a straight line deduction because I didn't have enough actual deductions.
I was in many, many different rooms in your house that you didn't know about when I was over there for the dinner party. So you could start deducting all that extra square footage.
Now, you do have some basic qualifications for home office, right? It's supposed to be used only for that purpose, okay? So you see a lot of people with a home office where, like, the desk is in the guest bedroom. You would not take the entire space. You would take the 3 feet by 8 feet that is your desk. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would take up just the square footage that is your actual office space.
But if there's no bed in there...
If there's no bed and then the whole room is office, you're fine.
Okay, that's me. Yeah, all right, I'm on the clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can absolutely do the straight line deduction. A lot of CPAs will go that route, one, because it's easier, okay, and two, because it does not add depreciation to your home. Okay. Now, when I say depreciation, I'm not talking about in the real world, right? I'm talking about accounting depreciation.
Counting depreciation is a really good thing for a business.
It's correct? A very good thing for a business. Yes. But what it makes it more complicated is that, let's say 10 years from now, you sell your home, you have to recapture depreciation that was taken. Okay. So it
sounds
is
like
a very
bad
good thing.
That hurts all of a sudden the dark side just blew up. The Death Star blew up a planet right there. It was like, we were really happy. We're good. The Ewoks are all dancing. And it's like, poof.
Okay.
Let me phrase it this way. When you have a small business, okay, you are going to pay two different kinds of taxes automatically. You're paying income tax, right? Federal and state income tax. And you're paying the 15.3% self-employment tax. There's
15.3% on top of?
On top. Okay. So let's just say that between federal and state, for purposes of example, between federal and state, you're in the 25% tax bracket income. Okay. When you add 15.3%, you're now paying 40% 40 on any profit from the business.
I got news for you. Do I get to have a large tax write-off for the lubricant that I'm going to need when they're just sticking it to me?
Doctor's note, my friend, doctor's note.
Okay.
That was awesome. So, no, okay. So let's just assume for purposes of the example that you're paying 40%, 40. Okay. Now, yes, you take depreciation, but depreciation will give you a 40% deduction, right? Because it's a business expense. So you're getting 40% deduction. When you recapture it, you only have to pay back at 25%.
Yeah, but that's 15%.
It's still,
it's still going to hurt.
You're going to need a bigger bottle of lube, dear.
I mean, this is why you combine tax strategies. You don't just do home office. You do home office with paying the kids, with medical plan, right?
Okay.
And the pets.
Okay. And the pets.
That are knee high.
Yeah. Knee high. Unless they're pit bull.
It's your pit bull. So, you know, so a lot of CPAs will go with the IRS approved, you know, the $5 per square foot home office because they don't want to track it. It's complicated. They don't want to gather the information. They don't know that they can, right? I mean, there's lots of reasons why somebody might.
Sounds like I'd rather go the other way though. So I don't, do I get to avoid the penetration 5 years down the line if I do it the other way instead of just taking the straight line?
The straight line does not have depreciation. Okay, so you're losing an expense now, but you don't get bent over in 5 years. Okay?
I like how she said that. You just don't get bent over in 5 years, and we both know what that means. Okay.
If you go with the more complicated version, so let me give you a good example of the more complicated version. You mentioned that you could take a portion of your utilities, a portion of, you know, your power bill, your internet, your cell phone.
Right, sure.
Yeah. But what a lot of people miss, you can actually write off a portion of any penny that touches your home. So if you had to replace an air conditioning unit, if you redid your deck, if you put in a pool, if you landscaped, okay, there's some serious expenses when you look at the overall home, right, that you spend money on. Maintenance, right? Power bills, water bills, HOA bills, you know, for many people, trash bills. Their home is one of the most expensive things that they have, right? So looking at the more complicated version, you get a much larger write-off, but you have to recapture that depreciation in five years, 10 years, you know, whenever you sell the home. So a lot of it depends on how much are your expenses. Typically, if you still have a mortgage, right, if you have mortgage interest that you're paying, going with the full calculation is much better for you, even though in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you're going to have to recapture.
You said the word sell your home.
Yes.
What if you don't sell your home? What if you stay in your home? And I know the...
Then there's no recapture. None. Ever.
Look at that.
Okay. They take you out feet first in a coffin. Is that what you're saying?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know what? And you're done. I mean, because when it passes to your heirs, they get a step up in basis and that depreciation disappears.
How about this? How about if I turn my home, if I...
Into a rental.
Exactly. And then...
Love it.
Then what happens?
Rentals do have depreciation. Right. That's mandatory.
Do they capture the depreciation? Do they capture that if you transition to a rental on it? So they are responsible for it.
Yeah. If your CPA is doing it properly, they should track and keep the depreciation. Okay.
Which we want the CPA to do. We do want issues. Okay.
100%.
Lord, I'm getting bombarded with all kinds of shit.
I know. This is awesome. Like thinking about all the home repairs we've had. The new bathroom, the new kitchen, the blah, blah, blah.
Your bathroom. You should be able to write all that off.
Did you see the bathroom? Did you go over there?
Yeah.
You did go in there.
Okay. Yeah. He took me in there.
Yeah.
That one, but your little half bath.
Yeah.
since I peed in your toilet, you should write that whole remodeling off. If you need me to, if you, the remodeling
come over
for
another
your,
visit.
Your master bath,
yeah,
I'll take a dump in there if you can pull 100% tax deduction
oh,
on it
oh God.
For a business expense.
Well, actually, we have some plumbing work that we need to have redone. Yeah. And so
come
why
right
don't
after.
You come on over and take a dump in my toilet so I can write it off? I'll talk to you through the door.
100% deduction.
I'll
here
talk
we
to
go.
You through the door about the podcast.
Could we write that off? Could she write that off?
So here's the deal. Don't answer. Do you want the answer? No, don't answer.
Answer it.
If it's got to be business use, guys, right? And don't I think be, that's
oh,
where
it's
a lot
business.
Of, people,
of course, it's business.
I'm talking to him through the door.
Purely business, right? So let's back up. You get a percentage of any penny, but if you want 100% of the write off, then it has to be 100% business. So, for example, if you had a restroom that was off the side of your office and you only used it for business, like that's it, then anything with that bathroom remodel would
ah,
be
ah, so I see.
What you
okay.
get to do is you invite me over for a business dinner.
Uh-huh.
Linda and I'll be over.
Yeah.
We'll have Brussels sprouts, spinach.
Oh, God.
All kinds of stuff
oh,
like
gross.
That.
Gross.
And then...
and some chia seeds.
Then I'll go do my business in your bathroom. And then we'll talk about business. We'll do it over the phone. I don't want you on the other side of the door. 100% write off. Done. Record it.
Record it
for proof when the IRS
okay, when
shows.
They come after me.
Oh, yeah. My.
Oh, oh my. Oh God.
Will that work? I think that would be the most interesting IRS audit. I think I would be so. Part of.
I could just
wait.
See the auditor sitting in my living room.
It becomes a federal this. Court case, and they're like, "You have evidence. Listen to this."
By the time we go to court, both of us will be on walkers. So we'll be like trolling in on a walker. Like, yeah, I think I remember that.
So my next question is about, and this is where it's a little confusing. Yes. Tax code 179. When yes. we're talking about vehicles that are okay. purchased for a business.
Yes.
And I have gone back and forth with my CPA trying to understand exactly how this works, because it's like, yes, you can buy a vehicle, but you still have to keep your personal vehicle. But, and then it would be better if you just took mileage expenses versus the company paying for your vehicle. And I'm like, I don't understand what the hell you're
Straight
saying.
Answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and explain this tax code. And I also heard that that went out the window this year.
It reduced. It's okay. not 100% gone, but it's reduced.
Can
yeah.
you explain to everybody what
you got?
179 so I'm
gonna, yeah, I'm going to come at this with a little bit of a story, okay? Because I think it'll help. It'll make a little more sense. So, when anyone is first starting to look at getting a car, one of the very first questions that I ask is, okay, well, what type of car buyer are you? So, for example, when I buy a car, I have two cars right now. I have a 2003 and a 2008, and I will drive both of them literally into the ground until they fall apart around me. That's who I am as a person. So when you buy a car, do you buy a new car every couple of years, or do you drive them in the ground, or what kind of buyer are you?
I'm going to answer this for Darren because he had to step out. I'm saying okay. he's going to drive it into the ground.
Drive it into the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the first key to the decision. Okay. Because if you're a drive it into the ground person, normally you want to take mileage. And the reason why is because when you keep a car, like mine, 2003, it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
When you keep a car for that long, if you take the Section 179 or Section 168K, they're very similar, but they're slightly different. Both of these code sections will allow you to buy a vehicle and write it off either at 100% or 80% in the first year, depending on which code section you're using.
Hmm.
Right. So if you're one of those people that gets a new car every 3 years, it makes a lot of sense to, if you bought a $100,000 car, it makes a lot of sense to write it off. And then in 3 years, when you buy the new one, you do it again and
okay.
you do it again, do
okay.
it again. Okay. If you keep a car for 20 years, you can only write it off once. You don't get it year after year after
right,
year,
right.
right? So if you keep a car for 20 years and you got it once, well, that means 20 years with no deductions, no mileage, no gas, no nothing, right? Like, that's it. You're done. Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't make any sense. Right. So that's why the key sense of it is, well, what kind of person are you? If you're getting a new car every 3 to 5 years, generally you want to go the 179 or 168K route. If you're driving, if you keep it forever and ever, it's mileage.
Okay.
As long as you're driving.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So are you going to, that new pickup truck you got, are you going to keep it until the wheels fall off?
Oh, probably.
Okay. So in that case, he's better off doing the 168
with mileage.
So right off mileage. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of the one-time deduction.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, certainly the one-time deduction, you know, it is there. It does exist. There's those two different. So if you were the other case, if you were going to get a new car every 3 years, the 179, there's 179 and 168. 179, I believe, just dropped 80% in the first year. Okay. So even if you're using it 100% for business purposes, you can only write off 80% of the purchase price in the first year. Okay. After that, you might have a little bit of depreciation left, but it'll be gone by year two, right? Mm-hmm. That'll be it.
Nope.
Gone. With section 168K, which is kind of like the younger brother of the 179, you can still write off 100% of the vehicle. But again, if you write off 100%, you're done until you buy a new car. Like, that's it.
Okay. Right?
There's no other deductions.
So basically, if you keep this truck for 20 years,
yeah,
you have nothing to write off if you write it off the first year.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know you don't want to do
like
that.
I like it each year.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah, have yeah, a little something, something.
Yeah.
Oh boy, so, that's complicated. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And I think that's really one of the keys here is, you know, in order to do tax strategy well, you need to know who you're talking to and who they are as a person and what do they want out of life? You know, doing tax planning. I mean, this is a simple example. Do you keep your car for 20 years or do you get a new one every 3 years? But, you know, some people, for example, Lynn, you mentioned you're married. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've got kids and own a house, that's very different than somebody who's single, who has no kids, who never intends to have children, right? The tax planning is just completely different for the two different types of people.
According to what I heard from my nephew, we are dual income, no kids, with a dog, and technically we are called a dink wad.
A what?
I love
dink wad. I love
it.
With a dog, a dink with a WAD, dink wad. So yeah, we are those people.
Well, and you know, this is where having a business owner is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself, because people with children that own a business can go pay the kids, right? And you can get, it's almost $20,000 a year per child. So I've got a client that has at this point 11 children and 7 of them are older than the age of 7.
They're Mormon.
So she has, Catholic, you know, she's got $140,000 a year of instant write-off because she has that many kids.
Wow.
But when you don't have children, right? I mean, you've lost out, air quotes, lost out on that deduction. Mm-hmm. So we start looking for other things, right? The master's exemption, paying the dogs, you know, all of these kinds of strategies. And so it's just very important for anyone working with you, your financial advisor, your CPA, your tax strategist, if they don't know you, if they haven't asked at least some baseline questions, they're not going to be able to help you or plan for you because they don't know who you are or what you want. Is retirement important to you? Is traveling the world important to you? I had one client, I will never forget it. Very first thing he ever said to me, he introduced himself, said, "Hi, my name is Dan." Second sentence was, "I want to buy a $1 million yacht. That's been my goal since I was 5 years old. How do we do that?"
Wow.
And if I didn't know that, the next year we helped him buy his yacht. But if I didn't know that, how would I have ever planned for him?
Yeah.
So you have to know who you're dealing with and what they want out of life.
Right.
That brings up another question. So when you are sitting with your CPA, what are some questions you should be asking them as far as, because they don't, a lot of times they won't ask you questions until you ask them. And it's tough.
No proactivity.
You know, what you don't know, you don't know, right?
Right.
So it's like, what?
You're learning on TikTok and bringing it to them and asking.
Good Lord. Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So what questions would be good to ask your accountant each year when you meet with them?
Absolutely. The very first one, we talked about the aggression scale. Okay. So I want to apply it to this particular thing. If you in your heart, when I asked that question earlier and I said from 0 to 10, you know, 0 meaning the IRS never calls, never ever, 10 meaning we're all going to jail. If you in your heart said, I'm a 7, I'm an 8, you know, or I'm a 2, I'm a 3, whatever that number is. Okay. I want you to ask that question of your CPA. Okay. Because if you are a 7 or an 8 and you ask that question of your CPA and your CPA says, well, I'm a 2, even if they knew about strategies, they are never going to tell you about them. Not to the level you want them, right? Because you're a 7 or 8 and they're a 2. So the very first question I want you to ask is, well, who am I dealing with, right? What level of aggression are they? Okay. The second thing that I would recommend that you ask is to speak to them about, well, what is the most recent article? What is the most recent strategy that you've heard of? What is the most, you know, see if they're even researching or looking at this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if they're not, it's time to find a strategist, right? If you're frustrated with how much you're paying in tax, you've got to find somebody who's.
How do people contact you again?
Oh, you're sweet. Taxgoddess.com.
Thank you.
We are super easy to find. Thank you. So the first one is, you know, they've got to be on the same or at least comfortable for you on that aggression scale.
Right.
Second one is ask them whether they are even looking at this kind of stuff. Because a lot of CPAs, listen, CPAs, as we said earlier, they're not trying to hurt you, but they're not proactive. They don't have time. They don't have the bandwidth. They're face down. You know, maybe they don't have the team to help them. You know, I've got a staff of 89 people.
Wow.
So, right. So I have time in my day to go read these IRS notices and things. If you're a one-man shop as a CPA, there's not enough hours in the day, mm-hmm. right? There just isn't. And then the third question that I would absolutely find out is how many other clients like me do you have? Because often what we see is somebody who started a business, you know, at first it was a little side gig and then it started making some money and now it's pretty successful. Well, if you're the biggest fish in that CPA's pond, you're not going to get the big fish advice, right? They just don't have it.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I get that. So I'm going to switch around. I had so many questions lined up in linear fashion. Now I'm jumping. Now I feel like the day we had Andrea on, right?
So oh,
like,
right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're not linear. Your questions are like going sideways. And I'm like,
well, it's like a cocktail party.
Just stay
like
with
said,
me.
We just go.
We'll get there.
Going
on. So you're saying they're not in a line with you.
Yeah.
Now with taxes, we all know there's a lot of gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And depending, they're like, well, if you want to report that as a deduction and you tell me to do that, then I'll do it. That's not what I want to hear from my accountant.
That's not what you want to hear.
I want to hear, no, you dumbass, you can't deduct that. Okay.
Right.
But or you can
this
deduct
is how that. We do it specifically. You right. need to do this, 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 and this to
what,
do that.
What are some... I don't want to put you on the spot, but what are, give me two or three, like some people consider this a gray area and you're like, hell no, that's not, or yes, mm-hmm. you can deduct mm-hmm. this.
One of the biggest ones that comes up over and over again right now, I'm going to call it influencer deductions. Okay. Influencer deductions.
Lynn's
right.
Like, what the hell's this?
Oh, listening. Well, and you guys are influencers. I mean, from that standpoint, okay. So you see a lot of people, YouTube, TikTok, you know, some of these influencer type stars, Instagram, right? This kind of thing. I'll give the perfect example. We have an influencer as a client, and he came to me one day and said, I want to buy a Rolex. And I said, okay, that's fine. It's your money. Do what you want to do.
Rolex,
right?
Better be influencing Rolex.
I'll tell you what. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to use this Rolex in my marketing videos and it's going to get me more clients. Shauna, you've trained me well, right? I know I have to prove that I got more income from this. So I know that by having the Rolex and showing it and really making a bunch of videos and everything about it, that's going to be fine. I'm like, okay, as long as you can prove it, I'm in. Like, that's fine, right? For him, for his job, for what he does, that's fine. Right? That's a deduction, right? And the way I was phrased it is, listen, I'm a CPA. Nobody cares if I look like a schlub, right? I don't get hair and makeup and nails and Rolexes, right? These aren't deductions for me. I have to look professional, but not, you know, I don't need a Rolex to show off, right? It's two very different things. So about 4 months later, he came back and he said, yep, I couldn't make up my mind. So I bought three Rolexes. Oh. And I'm like, well, honey, no. Okay. No. This is where, you know, now there's a famous saying in our world that says pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Okay. Very famous. Right. So, you know, one Rolex, yes, that makes sense. You can make the argument. The other two, I told him, listen, if you can prove, like flat out prove, I want you to show me where you made an extra $50,000 to buy that $50,000 Rolex, then I will let you write it off. But if you cannot give me a one-to-one proof, like in numerical numbers, I want to see those bank deposits, mm-hmm. the answer is no, you get one.
But what right. if he said, I'm listening to you, Shauna, but mm-hmm. I still want to take the deduction on those.
Great question.
Now,
where do we go? So as we mentioned right at the very beginning of this, I too am a CPA. Right. And CPA, if I do the wrong thing, right, that's why I'm a level 8. I'm not doing Al Capone level 9. Okay. I'm a level 8. I will do everything legal. I will do everything legal. I'm going to cross those T's. I'm going to dot those I's. I'm going to teach you how to do everything legally. Okay. But I like you very much, client. I am not losing my license over you buying three Rolexes. No, you can go find another CPA.
Good.
There absolutely comes a line. So
back to the
Can I write
off my pig gets fat and a hog gets slaughtered. Yes, no. That's yes. back that's to a, that.
Yeah. Boom. Mm-hmm. So if I check the time to make sure we're on time to do the podcast on my Apple Watch, can I write off my Apple Watch legitimately?
Yes.
Okay.
Your Apple Watch is a business tool. Don't you get emails and text messages and you're talking to Lynn on that and you're doing phone calls?
Oh, wait. Yes. Let's. Okay. Because I've had a couple glasses of wine. My hair. I have to have a professional presentation. No. Yes.
So this is the killer bit. This is the killer bit.
Okay. Or is this considered self-care?
Remember when we first got on, right? Yeah. I said, are we doing a video or is this audio? Uh-huh. And you said, no, this is audio.
Yeah.
You're off. You can't do the hair.
Well, if you're going to use this as a tax write-off, then this is all video. We've been doing video the whole time.
Oh, sure.
This doesn't mean we're going to post it, but we're doing video.
Okay, got it. I see. But no, it's good to distinguish, you know, between that.
And that's exactly what it is, right? Because listen, you know, you talked about earlier, well, I've got a small business. I made $10,000 and I'm writing off per event $17,000 events, right? Mm-hmm. A loss, the IRS has kind of these rules of thumb, okay? And in 1 year, you have a loss that happens. Look at COVID. Everybody had a loss.
Sure.
I mean, period, right? So, you know, 1 year, 2 years, this kind of happens. The third year, if you have a loss, it can happen. I'm not saying it can't. But if you have a loss the third year in the row, that's where the IRS starts looking at it going, so why are you still in business?
Right.
You can't. Loss after like, why aren't you going and getting a job or just switching to a different business or something else? Right. That's where you start to get on their radar. So, you know, you do want to be cautious and careful, right? You want to go up to whatever aggression scale you and your CPA, because they are signing the return, but yes, you are signing it too. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you just want to make sure that you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, right? That you feel good about signing that tax return.
Okay. Now I have a question because Darren's just been full of questions, and this is one that I actually
is that a problem.
No.
Okay.
No, but I get
make
a chance.
It sound like a problem.
I get a chance. This is one we were talking about TikTok earlier, and this is one I came across on TikTok. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
So,
Let's talk about beneficial ownership information and the reporting requirement as part of the federal government's effort to combat money laundering, drug trafficking, and other financial fraud. There is a deadline coming up.
It's called a nut punch.
Well, that too. It probably is a good code for nut punch. But what is that all about? And there's significant fines if you don't submit this.
Yeah. When you read that off to me.
Yeah. And you just wanted to throw
what's
up, right?
Happen. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know.
In 2024, I have to make sure. And how do I make sure that I've actually filed correctly done whatever the hell I need to do?
I got to tell you, my
$500 a
my day? Scale. You know, Shauna have your scale from 1 to 10 aggression scale. Yeah. Mine, I measure mine. It's a little more subtle. If I get the pit sweats like really fast, and I did when I saw this, it's like, oh god, what's this now? So please, could you comment on this?
Thank goodness we turned the air down a little bit more.
I know.
To cool right. off
I know.
Your
it is
sweats.
Hot outside.
Yeah. Reduction, absolutely. Yeah. Now, yes, this has come in. They are at the moment talking about this becoming something that needs to be reported starting January 1st of 2024. This was actually put into place about February of this year, so February 2023. It's part of the Corporate Transparency Act, and it's really beneficial ownership registration. Now, I'm going to come at this because good or bad, you know, social media, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, people sensationalize stuff a lot,
right?
Because of course that gets them more views, more, you know, it's a big deal. Yes, there are penalties for not reporting. So report. Okay. I mean, do what they ask you to do, report, do your thing. But if you think about it, listen, if somebody wanted to know who owns your company, they can do that now. They can go to your state secretary and say, okay, what company does Darren own? Okay, Darren owns this, this, and this.
It's easy. Now, any newsflash, anybody can do it.
Anybody can look at this. Do it right now.
Right.
Exactly. So the states that are most up in arms about this.
Hold on really quick.
What?
Yeah.
They can, but then when you get into the articles of incorporation and stuff, now you get into all this. They can't directly figure it out.
Okay.
Because sometimes it might be.
Yeah.
Well, it might be your entity owns another entity, owns a trust.
Sure.
Owns them.
Yeah.
But really, this is where the big deal, air quotes, big deal is coming about. Okay. There are certain states in the U.S. where that information is private. So, for example, Nevada,
Delaware.
Wyoming. Delaware, exactly. There are certain states, and it's a state level thing. Okay, so there are certain states where if you were to form your entity in Delaware, for example, nobody knows who the ownership is except for the Delaware statute, you know, the people you set it up with, right?
And hence, for everybody else who knows this, sorry to cut you off, but
it's fine.
There are numerous, when you start looking at corporations and
they're
LLCs,
all incorporated in Delaware.
In Delaware.
In boats. Have you ever noticed that when you're on the East Coast, they're all incorporated in Delaware?
What happens to be
Tax haven.
Right next to it? D.C.
Yep. Yeah. Philadelphia.
So they all go to, they all go to Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
they
all
go to Delaware and it's like, woohoo, I got this corporation.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Leave me alone, bitches.
Mm-hmm. Bitches.
So, you know, I think really when you read the law, right, this Corporate Transparency Act, when you read the law, what they're trying to do, it's part of the Financial Action Task Force. Okay. They're trying to prevent against money laundering. That's the trying to prevent shell companies from hiding the nature and ownership of businesses. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. Now you're going to get a lot of people in Delaware, you know, wherever that are going to say, no, I'm not doing that. Okay. Well then we're going to enforce penalties. I mean, that's, you know, so I don't know that there's really much of a choice. You know, companies created or registered before January 2nd of 2024 have 1 year to file the BOI, the Beneficial Ownership Information Report. So that's before January 1st of 2025.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you know, if there's a change, you have to update it within 30 days and you know, this kind of stuff, but really the information is basic kind of information. Now there are certain trusts that are excluded from the registry. Okay. And this is a very detailed it's kind of a very detailed law, so this would probably be an entirely separate podcast just on this guy. Okay. But there are certain trusts. And so I think really what we're going to see, just like everything else, a rule gets put into place. People freak out about it. They go change their entity structures to now be owned by this kind of trust or that kind of, you know, whatever, right? That don't have to report. And in 3 or 4 years, they'll make a new law that says, well, now those types of trusts have to report and those entities will change again, right? There's always going to be a loophole for somebody that really sure. wants a loophole. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But Senators. I think for the average, you know,
did
you
I say
it.
That out loud?
You did?
Oh, sorry.
You know, for the average American business owner, this is not a big deal. You file the form. They already have your information. This, like, I mean, the question really becomes like, are you trying to hide something? I
right,
mean,
it's, right.
So,
yeah.
Now, do you have to file it yourself or does your CPA file it? Can they file it for you?
That is a great question, is what is the CPA industry going to do with this? For most CPAs, and I haven't even made a decision on this yet, mm-hmm. This is a legal document. This is not a tax document, right? Okay. This is really like, who is the ownership? How is your LLC? Does somebody own more than 25%? You know, substantial control, you know, these mm-hmm. kinds of things. So I believe this is going to be more of a legal matter for the attorneys and for the document preparers than it is going to be for the CPAs. But I have no doubt in my mind the CPAs are going to get asked this question.
So they've
sure.
given us an easy way. Is there an easy way for, as a business owner, to do this yourself? Is there like a portal to do this?
A portal. That's what they're talking about.
Okay.
As you heard me say, right? If you yeah. were created before January 2nd of 2024, the filing doesn't happen until January 1st of 2025. So really, we have like a year and a half right. before mm-hmm. they, you know, but yeah, my understanding is that there's going to be a portal. You log in, you know, it's kind of like when we had COVID and all the business owners were getting like PPP and EIDL and like, you know, those kinds of things. There'll be a portal that should be, air quotes, should be easy to use. But it is a government thing. So who knows?
Two things, buyer beware right now. Because with this new filing coming out, there are going to be people out there preying on corporations and sending you these ridiculous notifications, threats, pieces of mail, like, you need to do this, and if you don't do it now, you're going to be in trouble. So,
and we're only going to charge you $5,000 right. per year to take care of this for you,
which is in the super 100%. Fine print. I mean, I've seen that for folks. I had somebody do that. And this is a quick aside. Somebody in my office got a piece of mail and they're like, what do I need to do with this? And I'm like, throw it out. And it had to do with filings. And they're like, oh my gosh, it was, you know, urgent, urgent, urgent. You need to do something. And it was like with their corporation. I can't
register
remember
your domain or whatever.
And
yeah.
it was like, and we'll do it for this X amount of dollars, which was fine print on the back page way at the bottom.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, no, throw it out. I've read all this, get rid of it. It's trash. So just buyer beware on this new thing coming out, please.
Absolutely.
And this brings me to my next question. We're segueing perfectly because you mentioned PPP and COVID. And there were a lot of programs out there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of businesses were able to take advantage, some take too much advantage of grants that were given to companies. And then it came through after that where it's like, we're going to give you this loan to carry your business through the hardship times right now.
Right.
And now you have to pay it back. And now I'm seeing other grants out there that are available that are like, if you had this, we are offering a grant for you now that is free of charge. Is it, are you aware of that? One, are you aware of these new grants that are free of charge? Obviously, a grant means we're granting you the money with no fee. And also, how the hell do you deal with your PPP now if you took that loan what's tax deductible? What don't you have to pay back, actually? I mean, it's so convoluted. Even their website is convoluted. It's like, I had this many employees, I got this money, and I don't know. I clicked on it.
ERC.
Yeah, I got so much that was for free, and now some of it I think I have to pay back.
Yeah.
What the hell? How do you sort through all this crap? And it's good crap. I'm not saying it's bad crap. This is like good stuff. 100%. It's just they're all over the place.
Well, and I will absolutely say, you know, earlier you said, let's give a break to the IRS, like to the government here. These programs came out. So you really had three different programs, right? You have and forget the grants here for a minute, because the grants are a whole separate issue. At the federal level, you really had three programs, the PPP, the EIDL, and the ERC. Sometimes it's called the ERTC. Okay. So the PPP was a loan. Originally, when it came out, it was a loan. Okay. And then they said, if you spent the money on a specific set of things, so paying your bills, keeping your employees, whatever, the loan is forgiven. Okay. But you had to apply for loan forgiveness through whoever gave you the loan. So the federal government was working with the banks, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, you know, whoever. They were working with the banks to get these PPP loans out to the people as quickly as possible. The bailout banks. Well, you know,
sorry to say.
even the small banks. I mean, they were working with anyone that could help. I really do believe that all three of these programs were absolutely meant to keep our country up and afloat and help people.
Yes.
So the PPP, you know, as long as you use the money for the right purposes, right, paying people, paying the bills, whatever, the PPP loans were forgiven. So for most people, they applied, they got the PPP money, and then the loan was forgiven. Okay. Now, you did see bad things happening with the PPP, where somebody would get a loan from one bank and then go to a different bank and get the same loan and then go to a different bank and get the same loan. I mean, there were cases where people were pulling out 10, 20 of the same loans from different banks, right? Obviously very bad, right? Now, those people are under investigation. The federal government is absolutely tracking those people, right? So if you did bad things, you better pay back the money, right? They're not going to be happy about that. You will be effectively blacklisted from any future federal money ever if you did something like that. The second program was the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans. Mm-hmm. Now, those were actual loans. Okay, and those came from an SBA program. You could request the money, and they were giving, I would call them increases in loan as COVID continued.
Yes.
So at first it was up to 150, and then it went up to 500, and then it went up to 2 million that you could get.
Wait a second, I could have bled the government for $2 million?
Depends on how big your business was and how much money you made and this kind of thing.
This podcast is like
blowing it up.
Boom. Lynn, we should have taken advantage of that. We could have been balling right now. Oh, are you kidding me?
Addition on the back of my house.
Could have got a new orange cat.
I know. We got a new bigger one.
So, you know, and interesting that you phrase it this way, because this is one of the areas. So the EIDL money, again, was supposed to be used for very specific purposes. Pay your bills, pay your staff, you were in the second and third round, you were allowed to refinance more expensive debt. Like if you would put things on credit cards to try to survive, they would let you pay off the credit cards, you know. So there were things like this, but you did. There are some now very famous court cases that are already happening about people who bought a yacht using $2 million of EIDL money. They're doing dumb things and they got caught and no big surprise. But, so those people also are going to be in trouble.
But what you were saying, people that had to put stuff on their credit cards or take out other loans to keep their business afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a loan.
Yeah,
but
you were able to refinance that debt which was awesome because, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you're trying to survive. The EIDL money hadn't come in yet. And so you've been putting payroll on a 30% credit card, to be able to get a 3.75% rate with the EIDL loans was a lifesaver.
I will say the one thing that was really screwed up about that was, the big businesses seem to get the money a lot faster than the small businesses that really needed it. But I'm not baiting you to jump onto that conversation, and I don't want you to. You stay in the positive light. I'll stay where I am under my rock. But I mean, that's it. It's still, and I know they gave people great interest rates.
Oh yeah, 3.75% fixed for 30 years. Yeah.
But where's some of that forgiveness for that, do you think? Do you think there's going to be forgiveness at some point for some of that? No.
I think this is where, you know, the marketing was bad, right? I think banks were confused. People were confused. I think the government was confused. Like, nobody really understood what was happening.
No, we didn't.
So
we couldn't even find freaking toilet paper at the time. So, I mean, like, if you could do that.
Or hand sanitizer or masks.
Right. Or anything.
Yeah.
I could find bourbon, though.
The only one of those three that was free, right? Like, actually free money to help people was the PPP. That's it. That's the only one that was free.
Well, and even the website itself, when you went to go apply for the EIDL, that's the right acronym.
Yeah.
And you get in there, and all of a sudden it's like, EIDL, yeah, do you want it? And you're like, well, maybe.
Oh, sign a piece of paper and you got it.
Right. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you're looking at other things. It's like, are you in the farming industry? Do you have crops that are this? Mm-hmm. Do you fall into this disaster such and such area? And you're like, wait a second. I thought this was going to be a simple process, and it became convoluted.
Just like our income taxes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Anytime you get the government involved.
Right.
It was heartbreaking because at the very, very beginning, like the people that literally signed on to the portal on day one, day two, like that first couple of weeks, they got in, they filled out a one-page form, they got their money. Like done, right? Done. Because the government they weren't in there yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as soon as the government started getting involved,
it was on like Wix or something.
They developed the
website, you know, and then it was like, oh shit.
This form and that form. I mean, even myself, and I'm a CPA, right? Even myself, right? We applied for the loan. We got approved for the loan. They sent the money to somebody else's bank.
Oh.
Well, hello. I mean, I've got staff to pay, you know, I mean, it's the world, right?
Somebody
it was the
else's
world
bank.
At the time.
You had to
somebody
put in your banking
bank.
Information though. Screw
right.
that up.
I understand. So yeah, so to try to stay on the first comment, because otherwise you're going to get me off on a whole tangent here. But the PPP was the only one that was said to be forgiven. It was forgiven. That's it.
Right.
The EIDL is a loan. You do have to repay it, period. It's a loan, right? And for many people, if they took out more than, I think it's about $200,000, they put liens on your homes, they, you know, personal guarantees, you know, these kinds of things. Okay. So that one does have to be repaid. The ERC or the ERTC, that one, and I'm doing air quotes over here, because that one, yes, it's free money.
That?
That's the employee retention credit. Okay. So if you had actual W-2 employees on your staff and you kept them throughout the time period, you know, they were still on staff and you were still paying them. You were able to get more money, the ERTC. So people, for example, people that had their children on payroll were able to get ERTC funds, this kind of thing, any W-2 employee. That money is air quotes free because you don't have to repay it, but you do have to pay tax on it. So it is income to you. You do have to pay.
Oh my God, I should have put myself on payroll.
This explains something
Holy
that happened
shit.
To me.
What?
I'll tell you offline, but I'm like,
are you kidding me?
Okay.
I could have put myself on payroll. I could have made myself an employee of the company.
Right.
You
wrote that
owner,
shit off and taken 25%.
Yeah, you as an owner did not count. So owner and spouse do not count, but children counted, cousins counted. So you had business owners putting, like, if you had a brother and a sister and both of them had a business, they'd put each other on payroll. I mean, you know, always ways to get around.
Sounds like so common. What if I'm bipolar? Would I
be six personalities?
No, it's not so, six separations of Kevin Bacon now. Although that would work. I bet if I just put that on there, they'd be like, 100%, you're paid. Got it.
Well, and I think this is why, you know, people get so flustered with the federal government. They're trying to do a good job. But again, we go back to, remember earlier in the conversation, I said it's a good and a bad thing that the IRS lost $21 billion in funding, because this is the kind of stuff that happens, right? When we need services, there are no services. Right. And, you know, I mean, obviously throughout this entire conversation, I am not handing over to the government a single penny more than I am legally required to do. But do I believe that things like our collection services should be able to answer the phone in less than 8 hours? Yes.
Yes.
Right. I do believe that there are some services that are necessary.
Let's face it. We're not a third world country.
We are not.
We need to have the services that serve us.
We use third world countries to answer our phones for us.
Well,
right.
Sarcasm.
If they outsourced, this would be a lot easier. But
right.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, you're probably right.
Sure. Yeah.
Oof. Thank you, India, for all you do for
Darren.
Us.
Damn, Darren. Damn. That's harsh.
All right. Yeah. Shauna, we have a ton of questions. I have a ton of questions that I still want to ask you. This is going to be great for questionable answers.
Oh, for sure.
And maybe if it blows up, another episode, but
I was going to say part two. I'm in.
Hell yes.
Yes.
That's a definite, but I have one last question that I want to ask you for today's episode. So what are the most common deductions that people should take that they don't? When they do their tax return, whether it's personal or business, like let's start on personal because I mean, business, we got a lot more to work with, but let's start with personal, but hit us with both.
Absolutely. On the personal side, I mean, you hit one of them, the HSA, right? So as long as you qualify the HSA, there are a lot of state credits. And of course that's going to be dependent on which state you're in. But for example, like I'm in Arizona, one of the state credits we have here is we have a choice. We can pay a charity or we can pay the state taxes, either way. So a lot of people will opt for charity instead of paying the state.
Does my Amazon Prime count? Oh, no, wait, they took that shit away.
Right? They did, yeah.
They finally removed
Smile,
that this
Amazon
year.
Smile.
Amazon Smile is gone now.
I love that thing.
Screw you, Amazon.
Well, I was about to say, I'm like, I'm not even going to say that, well, you know, he needed money for his submarine trip, but that's a whole nother issue.
What? Hold on.
No. I'm trying to make a very bad joke, a very off color joke.
Let's go.
Excuse me. Yeah. So, so personal, you know, you've got the HSA, you've got your state credits. If you do not, and I realize you said personal only, but listen, if you don't have a business, if you're personal only, if you're a W-2, you don't have a business, you need to make one. Start driving for Uber, start driving for Lyft, do Instacart grocery delivery, like whatever it is, because I'll be very honest with you. If you do not have a business, the tax code was not written for you.
How about a
you
Pinterest?
As long as you're making money with it, you have to make income, right?
You could start making potholders the old school way, like we did in camp when we were teenagers. The little.
I love it. And then on the business side, you know, I think we hit on some really good ones today. You know, make sure that if you have kids, you're paying your kids. Do your master's exemption. 14 days a year is a lot of money for a lot of businesses, right?
Hell yes.
Your dog, the medical expense reimbursement program, you know, these are some of the big, even though I call them low hanging fruit, for most people, the four or five strategies that we've covered today will probably get you an extra $20,000 to $30,000 worth of deductions. Home
Son
office.
Son of a bitch, I mean, really?
Right. These are big things. When you start to add them up and really look at the calculations, if it's $30,000 and you're in a 30% tax bracket, you've got right. $9,000 back in your pocket. So
damn. Now, Shauna, some people are saying, they're listening and they're going to say this. It's too good to be true to contact yeah. you. Yeah. Oh, wait, that was the last second thing, but it's too good to be true. If I contact Shauna to be my
strategist.
Thank you. Tax strategist. And we've never done this to you folks. We don't blow smoke up your ass. Okay. Ever. And if we find out that one of our guests who is on the show is actually doing that, we're going to take the podcast down quickly, and we're also going to call them out. But for folks that want to get a hold of you, because everything you've talked to us about today is extremely informative. It's also been very entertaining with the way that we've approached it. And we appreciate that very much. And that comes from,
I'm happy to teach. I love teaching.
Thank you. And, but how do people truly get a hold of you so they get to benefit the most from their tax returns each year?
Absolutely. I'm going to give you two pieces here. Okay. The main way to contact us is taxgoddess.com, right? That's our main website. For a lot of people, you know, really it depends on how big your business is, all right? So our main programs are made for people that are taking home about $300,000 a year. So with that being said, we have literally just launched, the book will be published, I believe, next month, a brand new book called The 6% Life. And as a part of that, starting next Wednesday, so Wednesday, the 5th of July, the day after our independence from the British, because they were taxing us too much.
Auntie.
Okay. There we go. I love it. The 5th of July, we are starting a group coaching program that specifically goes over every single week a different tax strategy in detail. And it's online. It's a webinar. So that is at taxgoddess.com/6life, S-I-X life. And we'd love to help everybody keep the money in their pockets rather than handing it over to the government. So
we'll post that in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. We'll post it.
I got to listen to that before I write that up. but I have a quick question, because all this, we really say that businesses, and you just said it, businesses get a bigger tax break, potentially. Absolutely. A tax break.
Yep.
Should individuals reach out to you? I mean, if I'm a W-2 employee, if I'm a 1099 employee, should I reach out to you, Shauna, to help me, you know, do the best that I can?
Stuff. Yeah.
And are you, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, you can reach out to me. I'm going to charge you a couple $1,000 for you to save $500 bucks.
But oh, no.
Do you have something for those individuals?
For those individuals as well. Absolutely. So let me be very clear. If you have a 1099, you are a business owner. But right. Even if it's a small 1099, you are, by definition, a business owner.
And make yourself an LLC, please.
Please. Yes. Yes. Well, that'll be part two of our episode here, right. Is why should you have an LLC?
But what about W-2 employees?
Yes. W-2, there are certain tax strategies that work for W-2 employees, but generally you're looking at needing a W-2 of about $1 million or more. So these are big W-2s. Okay. If you are a straight up W-2 and you're making $100,000 a year, $60,000 a year, whatever it is, and you're looking for something, you're looking for some sort of tax strategy, I would absolutely recommend our YouTube channel. We have a ton of free education on our YouTube channel, so YouTube Tax Goddess. And I would check out the book when it comes out. But definitely get a side business. You need something if you're a W-2.
There we go.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love it.
I do too. This is fantastic.
I'm going to be a professional peanut butter eater.
You're a professional.
I think that's my side business for my W-2 side.
There you go.
Wait. Yeah. What's a W-2? I haven't had that in a number of years.
It's a dirty word, W-2, in my
That
my
was
world,
World War II, right? Oh, that was W-2. Yes. W-2. Yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Shauna, I got to tell you what, this has been, for talking about taxes. And,
how fun.
The IRS and CPAs, you know, the best joke that I've ever heard from a CPA had to do with like cattle, and they came up with an odd number when they calculated, which was just dumb. Okay. It's worse than any dad joke. She's like, I know that joke.
Pig,
she's
not going to admit
it. Do you want my dad joke for CPAs?
Yes, please.
Okay. How do you know when you are dealing with the child of a CPA? They believe there's five seasons: spring, tax, summer, winter, and fall.
Nice. It's tax season.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, I love having you on the show today. When we pre-interviewed Shauna.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was all this energy.
Right.
So this isn't BS. It was the same thing. And
right,
I'm like,
right.
All I was thinking, I'm like, God, I hope she brings this shit. The same thing when we do her live. Otherwise, we're going to really...
It's going to be dry. Today.
Oh, yeah. And well, this is the benefit of being a redhead with a personality, right?
Woof. So. Yes.
All the good bits.
Came in with the thunder. It's a great episode. Thank you. Thank you, Shauna, for
Shauna
the tax
goddess. Yes.
For being on the show. Thank you, Hop City, for
the wonderful beverages. Yes, on a hot summer day. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, folks, I know we're coming in. I hope you, by the time you listen to this, it's already been 4th of July. Hope you didn't blow a finger off by holding a Roman candle in your hand. And you look forward to the next weekend ahead.
Yes.
In our episode.
Be safe.
If you found this interesting, share it with somebody. And when you're on that podcast app, click reviews and click that you give us a 5-star review. Actually, I don't care. Everybody begs for a 5-star review. Give me an honest damn review.
Any review.
Of stars,
yes.
We're not going to slight you. You give us 1-star. I don't care. Maybe it wasn't your thing.
Or your day, for that matter.
No.
You're having a bad day.
If you
day.
Had a bad day, you know what? I hope somebody makes it better for you. We appreciate all of you. We hope that because you listen to our podcast, your day was just a little bit better. And we will see you next week.